Meeting's called to order. As always, we start promptly on time, so it's 9:30. Representative Chenault, Representative Olson, Hawker, Heron, Keller, and Representative Grunberg. Today we have three items on the agenda: HB 23, the Kinnick Arm Crossing, HB 167, Architects, Engineers, and Surveyors, and naming, and I always get this wrong, Akiak Runway. And we will start today with HB 23. We do have an amendment, and I would like to go ahead and adopt that amendment before we could start. Representative Keller?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt Amendment Number 1 to HB 23.
Thank you, and I will object for purposes of discussion. And I think everyone has that amendment in front of them. Representative Costello, would you come forward? Hang on a sec. Before you do, Representative Newman, I think it would be appropriate for you to, if you want to come first. Oh, okay. Representative Costello, come on back up. Sorry, Mark. Representative Newman. Now put yourself on the record. You know the drill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Mia Costello. I represent District 20 in Anchorage, which is Sand Lake, Jewel Lake area, beautiful Anchorage. First off, I want to thank the chairman and the members of the committee for hearing this amendment this morning. Before you is an amendment to the Kubota bill that we have. Essentially what this amendment does is that it transfers the Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation as a subsidiary corporation. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation board would become Kubota's board. AHFC would retain all the powers that the current Kubota board has, and I will be going through those in a moment here. The amendment would name the subsidiary corporation the Kinnick Crossing Development Corporation. Most of the amendment and the pages in it before you change any reference to authority to corporation. So most of the pages in the bill are conforming changes. It preserves Alaska Statute 19.75, which is the enabling statutes for the Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority. And it provides for a smooth transition of the assets, obligations, the rights, the titles, the interests, the agreements, the contracts, the instruments, the indebtedness, the investments, the leases, the real personal property, the lines of credits, gifts, grants, loans, fees, rents, tolls, civil actions, revenue, funds, insurance, permits, licenses, studies, and intellectual property to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and it automatically transfers the budget that currently Kubota has. In addition, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the amendment before you allows for the current Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority Board to serve as an advisory board to the Kinnick Crossing Development Corporation Board for a year. Members of the committee and through the chair, this bridge has been talked about since before statehood. And certainly we've all heard very compelling reasons for its purpose. The purpose of this amendment is to bring our best team forward as partners, the Kubota team that has been working diligently on this project, marrying that board with the AHFC experience, I think will give this project solid footing moving forward. You'd have the new energy of the AHFC looking at this. They would review all of the activities. They would ask the right questions. They would come back before the legislature with a report. And they would work hand in hand with the individuals who are currently working on this project. And Mr. Chair, I would encourage the committee to seriously consider this amendment.
Thank you. Are there any questions to Representative Costello at this time? Representative Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking through this just briefly, are we going to have either yourself, Representative, or somebody else talk about any legal changes, liability for debts, anything else that may be created as a result of this amendment? The thing I'm concerned about is whether, for example, AHFC will have to be responsible for any debts that previously may have been incurred by Kubota, or that may be incurred in the future. I'm concerned about the relationship between AHFC and this new entity. I'm not a corporate lawyer, and this is not like a divorce, so my knowledge is limited. But I'd like to have somebody be able, since this is the only committee this amendment is going to be able to talk about that.
Dan Fowsky is available, and he'll be coming up after Representative Costello.
Okay.
Those questions would be asked him. I think he may or may not have legal, but I know he's had an opportunity to discuss with his legal team. Just for the record, in conversations with Mr. Fowsky, there may need to be some additional language added, which we can address. We will probably recess this meeting if something else comes up that if they find a problem. They're looking at that right now. If something comes up, we can certainly reconvene the meeting before this goes on the floor. So that's our intention, and Mr. Fowsky can address that directly. So just so everyone knows, there may be some cleanup at the request of HFC to alleviate some of those concerns that you have. So Mr. Fowsky will deal with that when he comes.
I know enough to scratch the surface, but not to go beyond that to draw blood.
I think if Mr. Fowsky doesn't know, his attorneys will. So we will certainly be able to get those answers. Any other questions for Representative Costello?
Thank you.
Thank you. If you'll stand by, I'm sure there may be more questions later. If you'll stand by, Mr. Fowsky. Now, Dan, why don't you come up first, and then we'll let Representative Newman respond after he's heard all of the discussion.
And morning,
you know,
Mr.
You know the drill. Thank you.
My name is Dan Fowsky. I'm CEO of Alaska Housing and President of Alaska Gas Line Development Corp. Through the chair to Representative Grunberg. This occurred a little bit late in the day yesterday, so I'm not fully up to speed on it just yet. We were talking this morning with counsel and people that I deal with all the time as to looking through this bill and to assure what's all is in there, and your point is a good one. We want to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. The main thing with Alaska Housing is you have to be careful what you bring into it in reference to how does it match up currently with a AA plus rated credit on Wall Street and how rating analysts and others look at what that does to the corporation. I'm telling you this because it's all fixable. We just need to be very careful with the language, and we're working on it, and I'm assured that we're going to be done within a few hours, where we would have something that we'd feel much more comfortable with.
Representative Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My my focus initially on debts is just one variation on the theme of what is the relationship, the legal relationship, going to be? And there are various changes. There's now the relationship between the corporation and AHFC. There's a second question of the relationship between the corporation and the former Kubota. And the question, and I'm just sort of raising issues that are just off the top of my head, and please apologize for that. How well this fits with the mission of AHFC, you need to look at and make sure if there are any changes in the underlying legislation or regulations. Again, the bond rating, and I'm going back to Representative Holmes' bill, which is dealing with entities that we dealt with yesterday in judiciary, whether with all the kinds of entities that can be created, is the subsidiary corporation type entity the best entity from the protection of both the state of Alaska and AHFC, and I wish to do no harm to Kubota in this, too. Just all the legal issues that this is a big important.
May I respond, please? Through the chair, Representative Grunberg. I think maybe this will help, and when we get back here, this is similar to what you're going to see. When we created the Northern Tobacco Securitization Corporation a number of years ago, some of you weren't here, but it was due to the lawsuits that the 50 attorney generals filed across the United States, and we were asked to get involved, and it was our determination to securitize those funds. We created a sub-corporation, issued bonds behind it that were solely the responsibility of that sub-corporation of AHFC. And so there are ways to do this. AGDC was treated much the same way. And so we're pretty good at this in terms of getting the language, making sure that all the assets are accounted for, what's tied to what, and how do we separate and delineate, but yet keep the functions of all entities still moving forward appropriately as they're supposed to. So
if I may, another concern I have is whether, and this goes back to kind of the mission statement, AHFC has one or a group of missions that are pretty well set. I want to be sure that taking this under your umbrella does not create a potential conflict of interest.
Through the chair, Representative, I'm not sure about the conflict. I appreciate the concern.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Not dissimilar from when I was asked a number of years ago, by getting involved in the gas line, would that create undue hardship, work, conflicts? And we assured people that nothing would suffer as a result of some additional work. At the end of the day, I know there's good people that have been involved with Kubota. There's the way I kind of view things, this is a finance mechanism. I always view those as this is always a solvable issue, and that we would work very hard to get all the parties involved and to get this back to a level that the legislature feels comfortable with. And I'm assuming, I'll stop there.
And just one final question.
Promise?
The final question.
teasing
representative. He doesn't listen to that. Never doesn't believe me on this either. And probably shouldn't.
I didn't want to be he didn't.
The other question is timing, because this is so close to, you know, this is all within 24 hours. Whether you need and your team needs more time to be sure we've crossed every I and dotted every T. Time should be on your side, not an enemy.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, what I believe you're going to see in a few hours is a bill that's going to look very similar to HB 369, which enabled AGDC to come into function. And so many of the members of the will be familiar with that language. The Attorney General's office is familiar with that language, our own counsel, and it's going to be very similar. I'd also like to pass on, as I look at Representative Hawker, that I explained last night to people, we're pretty busy right now with HB 4 as it moves through, and we've got HB 50, another bill. But our team's fine. We've got some people that are working on it right now, and when we're done here, I'm going to be on the phone with them, and we can do this in pretty quick time.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Fauske? I guess the question that I have is, and this did come very quickly. Is this something you can do?
Excuse me, sir.
Is this something you could do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And give the citizens of the state some assurance that, I mean, you've got a great reputation, and gives the citizens of the state of Alaska and the legislature a certain amount of confidence that we're moving forward in the right direction?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that to be the case. I need to study it. I know some of the people from Kubota, and I have a lot of faith in their abilities and in discussions we've had. And we will certainly seek guidance from them, and we'll put together an appropriate package.
With no additional questions, stand by. Thank you, Mr. Fauske. Representative Grunberg.
Law school teaches you to ask too many questions. In view of the less than stellar rating from that audit, and the problems that shows. How will AHFC deal with that?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, we will certainly analyze that. We will certainly talk to the people involved with Kubota and dig down into it pretty deep to try and figure out, you know, are these issues that can be solved or rectified, or were there misunderstandings in the audit, overstatements in the audit, separate fact from fiction, if you will. And I'm not being disingenuous to anyone. There's always, in any audit, there's always things that sometimes sound far more onerous than they are. And so we will analyze that very quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. President Newman, would you and Mr. Foster like to come up together or separately? Or might as well kill. Well, let me rephrase that. Come on up together.
Chair, Representative Mark Newman, representing House District 10 in the beautiful Susitna River Valley. Mr. Chair and members, what we have in House Bill 23 currently is 6 years' worth of work that's gone into this. Every word currently has been scrutinized by the administration for the last 3 years, through Department of Law, Department of Revenue, Department of Transportation has closely looked at every word, making sure that the state's interests are protected. Absolutely the most important thing for every one of us to be concerned about. That's the bill. That's what the bill does. My concern, Mr. Chair, is what, you know, there seems to be a need to try and put this under AHFC, which are good people. I like Mr. Fauske and what he's done. After this has been so closely scrutinized because of a public perception, you know, there's always going to be people out there in the weeds who don't like projects. In fact, some of those people have said, if this same project went up through the military base, they wouldn't object to it at all. It's not the project, it's some of the location. There's always people that are going to do that. My concern is, and Mr. Chair, you've been on this game for a long time, is it's last-minute changes and the effects that you never know what can happen, as Representative Grunberg said. You know, the governor was fully on board with the current version because of his faith in his staff. My concern is making sure that the reserve fund is there. The reserve fund has to be there in place for the TIFIA loan to proceed forward. That is projected to probably be let out within the next 3 months. That's $350 million at stake of low-interest loan money to a private partner from the federal government to make sure that the tariff rates for the people of Alaska are low. Just as we work diligently to try and ensure that the rates delivered on in-state gas under HB4 are very low. We are trying to do everything that we can to protect Alaskan consumers as required. Same requirements as in HB4. And so if we're doing this because, you know, there's a public perception out there and there's a chance that we could lose $350 million in federal loans, along with there's an increase from $500 to $600 million here in monies from the federal government for private activity bonds, which would go to the private partner. These are part of the Federal Highway Transportation Fund. It was formerly under $500 million. Congress put some more money in that and brought it up to $600 million available under MAP 21 the new highway funding bill. Again, making sure that the state does not risk losing those types of funds to build a road project, because we all know we have budget issues right now, and trying to assure that we have the best price for Alaskans on this toll is very important, and those low interest loans are very important. My concern also could be a possible message to industry. When you go to send a message like this to industry, and I don't know, I haven't seen the amendment and been able to go through it totally. I just have seen it here and seen conceptually what it's supposed to do. But assuring that those opportunities are not lost for the state of Alaska, for the people that we work for, is absolutely critical. Mr. Chair, you know, like I said, I don't know what to say about this amendment. It was pretty conceptual. I don't know what it does to the bill. I know that the best people Alaska's got for the last 3 years have scoured this bill. The best people in this state. They reached out to Citigroup, probably the most recognized, one of the most recognized financial institutions in the world, for an advisor. They have had secured the financial advice of Citigroup, Mr. Livingston, David Livingston, who has put together 48 3P projects in his life already. He is the head 3P project developer design for Citigroup as a financial advisor. The financials on this are very complete, with some of the best in the world, not just the state, but the world. Five years he's worked on this. Mr. Stark from the Department of Law is in the audience. He has worked on this bill in his legal advice under the Attorney General's office for 5 years, looking at all the legals on this. But, Mr. Chair, my concern is, if there's a cause that can delay this project, that delays the ability for Alaska to lose this project that Alaska has yearned for many years because of politics, I have a concern. If we look at this, and there's rightful concerns, then we'll deal with them. I would like to address one issue that was brought up. In a consultant's report, and it's an important issue, Mr. Chair, because it kind of goes around the traffic projections that we've always talked about here. In a report written by Chris Curtis, she states that the traffic projections on economic assumptions and data are unreasonably optimistic. And us legislators read that report, and we think unreasonably optimistic. I mean, that's a tone. What the report actually said suggests, this also suggests that Wilbur Smith Associates' projections may be somewhat optimistic. It also says to base it on the ICER toll revenues. Mr. Chair, the ICER toll revenues, traffic projections, that were done in 2009, Their 2010 projection for the Mansfield Borough was 80,300. Total acreage in Mansfield of 366,000. The actual census report that was put out by the United States Department, or our government, was about 89,000. So ICER was actually 9,000 under than the actual cost, actual count, with a total of 381,000 Anchorage Mansfield Borough. Kibata projection for the year 2035 was 191,000. ICER projection under the 2009 projection was 171,000. If you take the 9,000 short that ICER had, that ICER did not include, that it was short from the 2010 census, 9,000 people, and you correlate that and you correct that to the actual census, the Kibata and ICER difference is 103 people in the year 2035. That's pretty close, I think. And so when we look at numbers like that, which the audit suggested to use the ICER numbers, and so we did. And you know, Mr. Chair, we haven't had a chance to really talk about what the real numbers are and how they are. So that's why I think it's important to discuss that here. Because that's the facts. Mr. Chair, there's been supplied estimates of toll revenues starting out in the year 2017 of a total of about 6,700. Now, to me, that's pretty low. Mr. Chair, and it goes out through the gross revenues, total cost of doing this. All this projection on this outgrowth, too, does not include any chance of a pipeline being built. AGDC's pipeline, the ASAP pipeline, is projected to go right to Point McKenzie, right where this bridge comes across, where there's 14 square miles of industrial land. And I would say that there will probably be more expansion and growth there than there is now. Imagine a bridge cross there and the availability of more expansion for jobs, resource development, which has been our highest priority. And I'm not going to get into this bill, Mr. Chair. I'll get into the amendment. Again, my concern is, will this cause a hiccup in availability of approximately $950 million of federal low-interest loans to the private partner to this project? That will kill this project if there is that delay. TIFIA loans again will be let out here shortly, within 3 months. Mr. Chair, and just as how this amendment goes towards the bill, House Bill 23 has a zero fiscal note. It takes it to allow the Department of Law, the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Transportation to do a request for proposal, an RFP. The RFP will state a maximum moral obligation to the state of $1.14 billion. It's in the bill. The governor wanted it in the bill. That's an absolute worst-case scenario that it could ever cost. Mr. Stark testified in House Finance that the chance of the state actually having to pay that much money was a 5% chance, because you can't hardly get to zero. More likely is this project will come online on time because of the professionals that we have who work for the state on this. Not just Kibata, not just Kubota, but the Department of Revenue, the Department of Law, and the Department of Transportation, and the good people who build roads every day. Mr. Chair, we will consider this amendment and look at it. We appreciate the committee looking at it. That's fine. That's due diligence. That's the discovery process that we have. That is the legislative process. If you find what I ask, Mr. Chair, is after the administration, Mr. Fauske, Mr. Foster, the chair of the Kubota board, is very familiar with this whole process. If they find that there is no problem with delaying this project, no problem that could happen to the loss of those funds, then I will support the amendment. But if they find that this will delay this project, which kills this project, essentially, a project that Alaska has had on the books for years, then I cannot support this amendment. And Mr. Chair, it goes just a little bit deeper than that for me as a member of the MATSU delegation, where we have 33,000 people driving down the Glen Highway every day. And their lives are put on the line.
I appreciate your passion for this.
That's fine. I'm just telling you why, Mr. Chair.
Speak to the amendment. I've given you a great amount of latitude because I do support
and
this.
And
I want to make sure it happens. If we could kind of
wrap it up
a little bit.
I appreciate it. I'll wrap up. Again, as I stated, you know, we can support the amendment if it does not slow this project down and put at risk the money that is available from the federal government right now to make it so that Alaskans can actually get this bridge built and their toll revenues are the least possible, just as we did under House Bill 4 to try and make sure we save Alaskans.
Thank you. Any questions of Representative Newman? Foster, do you have anything to add to that?
My name is Michael Foster, Chair of the Connecticut Bridge and Toll Authority, for the record. I guess the question would be, do I support the amendment? I would say I don't. The first I learned of the amendment was on Saturday in a meeting at Senator Huggins' office with Representative Costello, Representative Pruitt, and Representative Holmes. And I asked, what was the purpose of the amendment? You know, we're trying to strengthen the bill, we're trying to address some issues, we're trying to address the legislative audit, which we are very prepared to go point by point. And as Representative Newman said, there are several issues in there that we take strong objection to. It's a mischaracterization or misinformation presented. But I was told in this meeting from the House side, or a few members of the House side, that it's all about credibility. Okay, Kubota credibility is lacking. And I'd have to say over the past 4 years, and, you know, I'm not Mr. Fauske. I'm not a paid employee. I'm a volunteer. I kind of got asked by this from the Palin administration, and at the time I wasn't quite sure what I was getting into. I didn't even know I was being appointed chair until I read it in the paper. So it's all about credibility, and I think over the past 4 years, the credibility of our organization, our board, which is made of two commissioners, two legislators, and three people at large, three members at large. I think our credibility has come a long ways from where it was 4 or 5 years ago when I took it over. In fact, when Governor Palin asked me if I wanted to be on the board, my first question was, is Kubota still around? 5 years ago, I didn't know. And so we struggled hard to provide accurate information to the legislature and to administration. Credibility is everything. I'm in the private sector. As I said, I'm a volunteer. You know, I don't even get paid to be down here. I spend a lot of time down here, as you know. It's all about credibility. I think our organization is very credible. I think adding it to AHFC, although I think it's a great organization, I have tremendous respect for Dan Fauske and what he's done. I have tremendous respect for Representative Hawker's bill and stuff for the pipeline. But I think adding it to that organization, another mega project, in a point where it is so close to being coming to reality. I think it just is an added burden to that organization. Kubota is transportation. Federal highways and dealing with transportation is different than dealing with pipelines or with housing. So I can't speak for the administration, but I can certainly speak for myself. As a Joe Blow from Glen Allen, a resident of the state, I don't support this amendment. If it's all about credibility, that is the sole purpose of this amendment, is to strengthen the credibility of Kubota. I passionately ask you to not pass this amendment. Pass the bill as approved by the governor and allow us to move forward this project. And I can assure you that the credibility will be strengthened and the project will be a success. So again, if it's about credibility, I think we offer that credibility. I mean, nowhere in the past 3 years when I've been down here has someone said, well, you guys are lying to us, you guys are misleading us, we don't trust you, your credibility is low. I think all we get is your credibility is high. You need to answer the mail. You need to answer the questions. We do that. We do that honestly, and we do it with integrity. So again, this amendment to me is nothing more than I said this to Representative Pruitt. Do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? If it's about a credibility issue, well, let's strengthen our credibility. Pass this bill. It will strengthen our credibility in the market and with the feds for the TIFIA program. But you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So I know you're short on time, so I guess my parting gesture is I don't support the amendment. I'd like to see the bill pass, and I'd like to see this project move forward.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Any additional questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Directed either to our colleague or Mr. Foster, in the audit there was a response. Could you describe the what you tried to send? What was your message to the auditor in your response to her?
The chair, to keep this brief, there's one table in the audit that I would ask you to look at, and that is table 37. We had three opportunities with LBNA to respond through the pre-management letter, the management letter, and the preliminary report. And I will point out, if it wasn't such a serious matter, it'd almost be a laughing matter. If you look at the consultant's report from Arizona, it has a Turnigan arm on it. It doesn't even have the Kinnick arm on it. The picture is Turnigan arm. Okay, but if you look at this table, here's a comparison on the left and here on the right. This is Appendix D, page 37. So this is LBNA's review of the two models, ours and theirs. Their model is based on local microeconomics. Ours is based on regional, central region. Okay, traditional job growth model linked to local conditions. Ours is based on regional, Anchorage, Wasilla, Kinnick. It makes a statement, Fairbanks. It makes a statement that, and this is the LBNH model, small amounts of residential in KGB corridor. KGB is one of the fastest growing regions. Traffic went from 12,000 to 18,000 in 10 years. Fairview area would be the fourth largest city in the state if incorporated. Okay, ours is based on a larger amount of residential in KGB with the effects of the bridge. I can go point by point. The difference between ours and theirs is they use the Mat-Su Borough School District model as their basis. Talking to the Mat-Su Borough, that model does not include the impacts of a Kinnick arm crossing. And they will tell you that it doesn't include it because at the time they worked on their model, they couldn't tell for certainty when it comes in. So their model is based on no social, economic, or demographic growth in the Kinnick, Goose Bay, Point McKenzie area as a result of a crossing. The fundamental difference between the two is that their model doesn't include the crossing in their analysis, and ours does. That table on page 37 sums it all up. And as Representative Newman said, there's a big difference between unreasonably optimistic, which is supposed to be an unbiased opinion by LBNA, to the consultant's opinion that somewhat optimistic And later in the report, he actually says our regional model is probably more more fair to look at than a local model is. However, as a one-person shop out of Arizona, he has limited resources, limited time, and frankly, he doesn't even know where the project is at.
Follow-up question. On a different subject, when will the P3 agreement be final?
Through the chair, the P3 agreement will not be final until we know what the legislation is. The legislation is part of the RFP process. Once we have the legislation, and we know that we can offer this to the private developer, they have that surety that the project is moving forward, then we'll complete the RFP. I estimate the RFP will take 2 or 3 months to complete through the Department of Law, and at that point, sometime this summer, we should be able to issue it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any additional questions, Representative Hawker?
Mr. Chairman, and just a, I wasn't going to say anything, but we've just heard a rather severe indictment of our state legislative auditor, who was voted for and approved by the entire state legislature. I believe if we are going to have that kind of an indictment made in public, we need to give the auditor a chance to respond, and that their audit was in fact conducted by and in accordance with professional auditing standards, and in fact they do stand by the opinion they rendered. But I believe that should be addressed, and we should give the state's auditor an opportunity to place themselves on the record.
Representative Hawker, when we come back sometime later today, that will happen.
Thank you, sir.
At this point, I think what I'm going to do is recess to a call of the chair, let Mr. Fauske work on some language, and then we'll take up some of the other two bills that we had prior to session. That'll be, so just stand by. As soon as we can get some information, we will meet as soon as we can. So with that, we will recess to a call of the chair. As always, we start on time. It's 2 o'clock. Before us, we have HB 167. And we have an amendment for 167. And Representative Olson, if you'd move that.
I move amendment number 1 to House Bill 167.
And I will object for discussion. Representative Olson, are you going to present, or are you going to have someone
else? I brought capable staff to.
Excellent.
This will be real brief.
Put yourself on the record and hopefully you know the drill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Anna Latham, staff to Representative Olson. This is a one-word amendment to House Bill 167. It's on page 3, line 14. It deletes 3 and inserts 4. House Bill 167 passed out of Labor and Commerce without any unfavorable public testimony or concerns. Late in the process, there were some concerns about this one-word change. As House Bill 167 is written, the change would have required an architect stamp on fourplexes. Because of the concerns, Representative Olson took those into consideration and offered this friendly amendment. And if this is adopted, it would leave HB 160, that change would be removed from HB 167, and it would be as it is in statute now. Under exemptions, that change wouldn't be changed at all, actually.
Okay, questions for the maker of the amendment? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what we have now is a stamp will be required on a fourplex and not on the threeplex.
As we have it now, a stamp would be required on anything above a fourplex. So 5 residential units, a stamp would be required.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any additional questions for the sponsor? Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify on this? Is there anyone online who'd like to testify on this? So I'm opening public testimony, hearing that there's no one to testify. I'm closing public testimony. Committee discussion?
Could you say I'm here?
I didn't say anybody else was.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
But I bet the secretary has it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry, I was...
Mr. Speaker.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say another fine bill from the Labor and Commerce Committee.
When we see the members of that committee that we might know, we will pass that on, Mr. Speaker. Any discussion? What is the will of the committee?
Forum.
Representative Olson.
Move to report House Bill 167.
Remove the objection. Oh, anyone object to the amendment? I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, hearing no objections, amendment number one is passed. This will bring us to committee discussion. Any committee discussion? What is the will of the body? Representative Olson?
Move to report House Bill 167 committee with individual recommendation and accompanied zero fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, 167 as amended has passed the Rules Committee. That brings before us SB 31, and who is here to present for Representative Ostrom? If you'll just have a seat a second. We do have an amendment. Representative Olson.
I move to adopt amendment number one to SB 31.
And I will object for the purposes of discussion. Put yourself on the record and tell us what you're trying to do here.
Okay. Hello, my name is Astrid Rose. I'm staff to Representative Ostrom. And we worked with our counterpart in the Senate to put together this amendment. The original bill names the Akyak runway after two pilots that have recently passed away. And this amendment aims to name the Kodiak State Airport after Benny Benson. Benny Benson was born in Chignik on October 12, 2013, so this year marks his 100th year anniversary of his birthday. My boss, Representative Osterman, knew Benny Benson personally, and they worked in at the airport at the time together. And I can give you more information on his background, but that's essentially what the amendment does.
Thank you. And just for the record, would you tell us who Benny Benson is in case someone may not know?
Benny Benson put the design together for our Alaska state flag.
Any questions of the representative? What's your name?
Yeah, that would be my name. That would be me. I answered anything, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Representative Hawker here. Does our the state airport at Kodiak have a current name, and is there any opposition you know in Kodiak to naming it the Benny Benson Airport?
There's no opposition. We received resolutions from the city and the borough and community members in support of this, and it does not currently have a name.
Thank you very kindly.
That.
Appreciate that.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to show my ignorance a little bit. Is Chignik on Kodiak Island?
It is not. It's over on the other side, but it's in the borough of Kodiak.
Oh, it is. It's on the Alaska Peninsula?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. After we break, you can show me where it is. Thank you. I've not been there.
Thank you. Any additional questions for the sponsor? With that, I will open public testimony. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify? Is there anyone online who'd like to testify? Hearing none, we will close public testimony. And with that, I will remove my objection to amendment number one. Is there further objection? Then amendment number one has passed. Committee discussion. Nope. Then what is the will of the body? Representative Olson.
Move to report SB 31 as amended out of committee with individual recommendation and accompanied fiscal notes.
Are there objections?
Hearing none, the bill is passed. SB 31 is passed out of committee. Anything to cover at this time? Additional to cover at this time? At this time, we will stand in recess to a call of the chair awaiting some information on the previous bill that we've heard. And with that, we will be in recess.